Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently on vacation, and she will be returning on Monday. We can't wait to see her, but for now, you've got me, Greg Bach. You've also got Angela Lang, who is the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Our Community, also known as BLOC. And we also have Sweet Cal B on the boards, a.k.a. the board lord, a.k.a. Calvin. And we are very, very happy to have you here, whether you are listening on the radio, listening through the app, which you can absolutely find us through on going to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can download the app. You can listen to us. You can call and text to that app. And you can also listen to us as a podcast. If you miss an episode, you can go to civicmedia.us or your favorite podcast distribution center of choice, and you can download the show. There's two shows a day, all 2 hours. And you can also subscribe to us and, you know, leave us a little 5-star review if you want, if you think we've earned it.
On Yelp?
on Bing. No, you can go, you know, yeah. you go on the podcast and
then you can do the thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get, and then we would love that. If we've earned it, great. If it's under 5 stars, send all complaints to Calvin.
I don't even work here. So.
Angela.
Don't send it to me. I'm a guest. I don't even work here.
Send it to angela.lang at angelfire.org/complaints.
How did you know my first email address?
Your first email address was not your name. If you were.
No, it was not.
It was like, you know, Buffy fan.
We will not talk about what it was. It wasn't bad, but it's just like embarrassing as you grow up.
And I will say this too regarding email addresses. This is a tangent, but if you are over the age of like 30 or 35 and your email address is like, you know, sportscar74, I'm like, no, dude, I'm not sending an email to sportscar74 unless they have a sports car bed and they're 10.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we all grow up at some point.
Exactly. But yeah, you can reach out to us. And also if you have any questions, we will not be doing, by the way, public service announcement this Wednesday. Dr. Hanks has something she has to attend to that day. But you can always email us at janesays@civicmedia.us with questions, you know, whether it's medical questions or if you have people you want us to talk to, stories you want us to look at.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you. Really, we just want to hear from you, the people. We really love having you reach out to us. Speaking of reaching out, we're in the campaign season, Angela. Did you know that? Calvin, did you guys know
that? Can we be done?
Angela, as soon as this election's done, we got to start ramping up for spring and another.
I need a nap. I will take a nap at some point. February will be February. Hopefully there's not a primary. I mean, if there's a primary, great. But we'll see if there's even a primary in February.
Yeah. But right now we're getting knee deep in ads, whether they're being sent to our homes via mail, whether they're being sent to text messages, whether we're seeing them on TV. And I came across an ad, and I wanted to find this. It was an ad from a group called Jefferson Rising, which already means, guys, it's going to be fire.
Yeah.
And it was an anti-Tammy Baldwin ad in which they're trying to portray her as a out-of-touch Wisconsin politician whose main concern is hanging out with West Coast elites and millionaires. And we all know what those commercials look like. It's the weird pictures. Like, you know, it's always a, you know, very unflattering photos of people.
Course.
But their whole conceit was Tammy Baldwin doesn't do anything for Wisconsin. She just hangs out with San Francisco billionaires. And it's a picture of her and Kamala, who, by the way, Kamala is not a billionaire.
No.
I'm sure she's got money. More than me. And then they show a picture of her with Joe Biden. Also not a billionaire.
That man rides trains everywhere.
Yeah,
he can.
And he's not from the West Coast either. They couldn't really like push her towards the narrative they were trying to make for her. All they wanted you to know is that Tammy Baldwin loves California, apparently.
Eric Hovde,
yes.
Her opponent.
Yes.
Do you even go here, bro? You want to talk about someone else being in California when everyone knows, and we've seen those ads, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, You barely even go to Wisconsin. Like, Mean Girls, you don't even go here. Shut up.
Quit trying to make Hovde a thing.
Seriously. I mean, how many times? This is not the first time we've heard him. He's had other unsuccessful runs. So it's like, can we, someone, maybe the Democratic Party or whoever that is listening, free advice.
Yeah.
Mean Girls graphics in relation to Eric Hovde. I'm telling you. Because if I knew how to do all that stuff, I'm an old millennial, whatever. I don't know how to do that. I would be doing all the memes. Like, literally, he doesn't even go here, Eric Hovde. Like, I would be doing all of that.
Well, and to be fair to Eric Hovde, he did not. That's not, it wasn't his ad. It was from a pack called Jefferson Rising. Okay. And I wanted to just look into Jefferson Rising because it's such a amazing name for a group. You know, Jefferson, one of our least problematic presidents ever.
Of course.
They are a group that has a total, this is all, by the way, this is not like, I did not like dive deep into the matrix to find this. I went to opensecrets.org, which is an amazing website.
It's great. I use it all the time.
And their donors are two groups. $2 million from Crown Quest Operating and $25,000 from Medallion Home Gulf Coast. It's oil and gas and home development. Given over $2 million.
Go ahead.
I thought you were like, well, and I have a point about that. And right now, they're just basically spending money on the following people. Tammy Baldwin, John Tester, Ruben Gallego, Martin Heinrich, Mike Rogers, Jackie Rosen, Alyssa Slotkin. All of them except for one is a Democrat. And it's all being targeted against them, which is nothing new.
Right.
But I think my whole point is Eric Hovde's campaign ads have been garbage. Mm-hmm. They're just not good.
He's a bad candidate.
He is a terrible candidate. He is not engaging. He is not charming. He doesn't get the fire going in you. And that's, yeah. I mean, say what you will about Trump, but 2016 Trump got you going. Like, I understood why people liked him because there was a fire about him.
Yeah, I get it, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm just not happy about it, but yeah.
I know. Neither am I.
But yeah, you're right.
But Eric Hovde is trying so hard to be a millionaire who's also trying to be aw shucks darn Wisconsin. He's trying to be Tim Walz and he's failing at every move.
I just think it's funny that they want to say that she's like this out of touch, you know, billionaire cozying up with Hollywood and blah, blah, blah. But as you just said, who's funding these campaigns? So it's just like pot kettle, but also the kettle doesn't apply. Like it's just so interesting how people try to pull a narrative out of thin air, but once you, as we all say, follow the money or start to dig in, and it's like you are just completely, you don't even believe what you're saying.
No.
Because the money and the donations and how this is funded is exact opposite of the narrative you're trying to push, which I think is fascinating.
I mean, they're just trying to do it's a sleight of hand thing. It's like, don't look at what's in this hand. Look over here. Tammy Baldwin's got nothing done. That is false. That is one of the most false statements in politics today. This idea that she has done nothing for the border, she's done nothing for jobs, she's done nothing for Wisconsin, it is false.
Right.
And trying to portray Eric Hovde as this fourth generation Wisconsinite who doesn't have a home on the ocean in Laguna Beach.
Right.
In California, surrounded by California billionaires. It's no wonder that he doesn't do well in polling. He doesn't do well in interviews.
Yeah.
He's uncomfortable. He's like J.D. Vance, where you ask, there's a question he was asked, what's your net worth? And he did that awkward, and someone said, well, why won't you answer that? He goes, why should I? And he turns into who he really is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But we've joked about it before on the show. They just got to get that game together on the ads. I mean, they're floundering.
Yeah.
Absolutely floundering. I mean, I don't know, Calvin, we're going to get to what you got to in a little bit, because we're going to give that a whole section that we are called, if I'm not mistaken, we're called Let's Not Do This, because it's a very weird thing. But Calvin, are you getting a lot of ads at home, like mail ads at home?
Mail ads? I'm not sure. They go right in the garbage. But TV commercials, it's pretty much 70% of commercials on TV are political.
I mean, I think I mentioned this last week. I was watching Hulu, and there was a commercial saying Tammy Baldwin has failed at the border. The doors are open, and someone named Fentanyl's coming through.
You have a great impression of that, and I say that as a compliment, even though it's probably not. But it sounds just like the man.
I would totally do it. She doesn't like mayonnaise on her mayonnaise sandwiches. Tammy Baldwin doesn't get Wisconsin.
Oh, that was so good.
But that was the thing is, they do that ad with that voice, imposing impending doom.
Yeah.
And then two ads later, it's a pro Tammy Baldwin. It's a Baldwin ad, not just even like a pack ad for her, but a Baldwin ad with two longtime career police officers saying she signed a bunch of laws for the border and strengthened the border, and she's given money for and she was for the bipartisan border plan until it got all you have to do is wait 30 seconds.
Exactly. Because they run them. I've seen them so many times. Yeah. They run that one and then either immediately after or like the next one. It's just like, it almost comes across like, okay, let us set the record straight here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uncle, like it's like Thanksgiving. It's like your uncle is saying things. You're like, may I respond now?
Yeah, exactly.
No, there was no basement in the pizza place in DC. Come on now. Let's just.
Some people still think so.
I just think that, I don't know. I know it's not going to get better. I know it's only going to get worse because we are 63 days until the election. And September especially is going to be, because October's going to be crazy, especially for you. You're going to be, Block is going to be knocking on a ton of doors.
Yep.
But this September time where there's no convention, there's no big speeches, it's just a lot of stumping and a lot of money is going to be poured into your mailbox and your television for all of these ads. And
fun time the next 60-some days are going to be.
And frankly, folks, if you want to talk about, all this week, we'll talk about it for the rest of the election, but like ads or, mailers you get, please tell us. Send pictures. We'd love to see them. Text those pictures in.
Please.
We'd love to see them. We're going to keep the conversation going on this, specifically with a segment we are calling Let's Not Do This. We're going to be talking about creepy campaign texts. With Calvin, Sweet Calby, the board lord. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay hydrated. You are amazing. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Good morning. We are here on the show. It's 11:20. We're so happy you could join us today. I'm Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation. And I believe we're going to be getting a message from Jane soon. I think tomorrow we might have a fun little message from Jane to everyone here at Civic Media and the audience we want to read for you. But she will be back on Monday, and we're happy that she is taking some time to herself. We've also got Angela Lang as our guest co-host today. She is the executive director of Block Black Leaders Organizing Our Communities. And of course, we have Sweet Calby on the boards, the board lord, Sweet Calby. And we're going to be doing a segment today. We're starting something here, 11:20, called Let's Not Do This, or we could call it This Should Not Be a Thing. I think we haven't decided on the name yet. But Calvin, you brought this up to me, the fact you were sending me these screenshots over the weekend from campaigns trying to target you as a voter. Calvin, tell us more about it.
So, first of all, I have no idea how I got on this PAC's list. Me and Greg have a little bit of a disagreement. He's pretty sure that they are legitimately out of touch. To me, it seems so deliberate. It almost seems like this is a opposition group trying to paint them in a bad light. But so the first one,
I will read the whole thing. Okay, this is the and also tell us about the picture.
Yeah, I will. So the first one comes with an image. It says Trump for traditional wives, and the image is of the Duggar family welcoming their 18th child, superimposed on an American flag and a cross.
That's intense for one picture. I just saw it. That's a lot.
And then the message says, women today need to go back to serving their husbands and knowing their role as an obedient wife and loving mother.
Husbands is with a capital H, by the way.
Kamala Harris. Of course it is. Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party are obsessed with stopping God's plan for women and murdering the unborn. Life begins at conception and sex before marriage is a sin. Please vote for Donald J. Trump.
Wait, why did you have to slip in sex before marriage? What did that have to do with anything? You just wanted to be like, hey, also don't, what?
So I'm going to tell you why I think this is real. The wording is all there. There's no irony behind it. There's no wink and a nod. There's no sarcasm. There's no satire whatsoever, in my opinion. This is their message. They're not saying women today need to go back to serving their husbands and knowing their roles as obedient way. Like, they keep going with that. Then there'd be some humor in the idea, but because they also don't tell you to go to someone else or say, just kidding. But one of the big things is they love calling the liberals and Democrats. They love saying the Democrat Party.
They love
saying the Democrat Party. I don't think this is fake. I think this is for real.
The second one's worse.
The second one.
So there's more.
Oh yeah. So that's what do you think, Angela? You think that you? I feel like you think it's real because you just look uncomfortable.
Yeah. No. Deeply uncomfortable. Part of me thinks it's. Yeah, because there's not like, and check out this random domain name because they forgot to buy, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like a troll type of thing. And this is their language, because I feel like if it was, they would send you somewhere else and be like, haha, it's like, this is why you should vote for Dems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just floored, but not surprised that they're getting so bold and they're not using, I mean, their dog whistles lately have become bullhorns. Like, what is a dog whistle even more? But like, they usually save that for like the intimate campaign dinners, and we only know because someone like secretly recorded. Like they're text blasting this to like probably hundreds of thousands of people, and I it's just so interesting. It's so explicit what they're saying.
Did you respond to them at all, saying, "Who are you? Like, are you for real, Calvin?"
I mean, it's automated. It says "stop to end" at the end, so I figured there was no point. But the next one.
Yeah. Okay. So set up for the second one, which you thought the Duggars on an American flag was
bad?
Worrisome.
This one's worse.
Board Lord, have at it.
So this image, it says Trump for sexual purity, and it's Trump with a Bible. I believe it might be the picture of him holding it upside down. To
that
be
one.
Completely honest.
Yeah, it was taking the same. It's not that picture, but it was the same quote unquote photo shoot where he made sure that protesters were bulldozed out of the way.
Superimposed on top of the same American flag and cross, pictured are ancient pictures of Kamala Harris with Montel Williams and the former governor or mayor of San Francisco. And the message reads, Kamala Harris is no role model for our girls. She slept around, married late, and has never experienced the holiness of pregnancy and childbirth. Maybe that is why she doesn't understand the sanctity of life. A Christian woman would never run for president. We cannot let the Democrats elevate this woman as a role model to our girls. Vote President Trump.
I once again think that's 100% legit, because as you just said, Angela, they are now, there's no nuance. It's not demure nor mindful. It is
not cutesy.
They're saying the loud things loud.
Louder. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had to laugh because it immediately lost me as Trump for sexual purity. I'm sorry. Do we not all remember that collective October surprise in the Access Hollywood video? Do we also not remember the lawsuit against E. Jean Carroll and all of the ways he talks about women and
Stormy Daniels?
I was going to say Stormy Daniels. Okay. My head's about to.
Let's not do this. First of all,
folks
sending those text messages, don't send those.
Mm-mm.
They're weird. Mm-mm. They are purely weird. Calvin, are you still on board with the idea that you think it's fake?
I mean,
or if I brought you over to my side,
you might have brought me over to my side, but if it's real, it is the most tone deaf, brain dead, strategy decision. Even if you believe that, send this to random people. Let's see how that goes.
Because this is, once again, They don't care how cooked the spaghetti is. They'll throw anything at the wall.
Yeah,
fair. And they're going to throw that to any phone number, phone bank, or phone list they can buy. And they're easy to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And they bet on the fact that they'll probably get 10% engagement. It doesn't probably cost these groups a lot to buy these lists. So if they get 10% engagement and they get some money out of it, it's worth it at the end of the day to them. And speaking this kind of language will inflame that 10% hard, and they will get in the fight and they will give their $5, $10, $20, or whatever they want you to do with that information.
I also think, I don't know if they're this smart, but I also think, are they trying to inoculate against a potential Kamala Harris win? And I say that because what does it look like to Trump is already starting to say, you know, he's trying to basically lay the framework for another coup, for mm-hmm. another January 6th. Is he also trying to rile them up of like, let's disparage her as much as possible, make her anti-Christian, all of the things?
Yeah.
So if and when she does win, you already feel it in your bones that she is such a terrible, awful person that you might be compelled to storm the Capitol again.
I mean, that very, very good points and very worth talking about in the coming weeks and months, 2 months ahead. I mean, I think that they have little shame.
Yeah.
And I think that they don't care about being seen as what we're making them out to sound like, because at the end of the day, they're fighting for something.
It's a badge of honor for them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we're going to keep the conversation going just a little bit because I see some callers on the line. I want to take your calls on this and find out what you're thinking about, you know, these wonderful ads. don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close, stay hydrated. You are amazing and awesome. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation right now. We'll be returning on Monday. We can't wait to see her. Tomorrow, I think, yes, tomorrow we will have a piece of wonderful updated information from Jane as far as just having fun and being vacationed.
Awesome.
As we have for today, Angela Lang, executive director. I almost said executive producer. like you work in television.
I mean, you're like... Executive.
I'm trying to think of like a non... Nope, not Shug, not P. Diddy. Master P, there you go. No, I mean, you are the executive director of Block Black Leaders Organizing Our Communities. And of course, we have the board lord on the board, Mr. Calvin Butenhoff. Happy to have you here. We were talking about creepy ads, weird ads. Calvin was going over some weird text message ads for Donald Trump that were, I'd say, hyper religious. And I would, you know, I'm going to say it here, folks, anti-woman. So.
Culty,
very odd. But we have some calls coming through and wanted to add to the conversation. Brendan from New Jersey, always good to hear from you. What say you today, sir?
I would say creepy on the other side would be the last piece that Lincoln Project did. I don't know if you've seen it or not, where the father and daughter get pulled over and the officer pulls them both out of the car. And he arrests the father for carrying a minor across state lines for an abortion, and they arrest the daughter for trying to escape motherhood. Now, as creepy as that might seem, watch it about three times, and then go back to Project 2025 and see if you think that that's not really far off.
Sure.
Well, and Brandon, I'm glad you brought it up in that way you stated it in such a fashion, because that's what makes me believe what Calvin sent to me wasn't a joke, because everything that was said in those text messages and thank you so much, Brendan, for calling, and everything that's said in that commercial goes in line, lockstep in what they are trying to push. And Project 2025, I don't know, honestly, I've asked this question before and I'll keep asking this. I don't understand why they put it out now. They could have made it, had it ready to go.
Yeah.
And if Trump got reelected, he could have stood on that stage. He could have stood on that dais in front of the Lincoln Memorial.
And said, this is what we're doing. Yeah.
Oh, not the Lincoln Memorial, the Capitol building. This is what we're doing. Here's our thing. But they talk about it in plain daylight, and now they're running away from it.
And then now it's called what? Project? Or they're trying to like rebrand, and he's like, oh, I don't know about this. But here are like Trump's policies, and it's like,
well, they're calling it Agenda 47.
That's what it is. I was so, like, Project Agenda. Yeah.
If you hear of Agenda 47, I equate it to this. It's like saying, here's the Constitution, here's the Bill of Rights. Agenda 47 are all the top hits for them.
What they want to get out. Notes.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a very quick read.
Got it. Because I'm not reading 900 pages of Project 2025. I can read a couple and know it's enough.
Yeah, you can go to Wikipedia and they actually have a very good distillation of the whole document on that page. But yeah, I mean, that is why I think that those text messages were completely real, because they absolutely agree with every point that these leaders, quote unquote leaders, have been talking about, whether it's the relegation of women back to the kitchens or it's families, young women being tracked, whether it's GPS in the car or their periods.
That's why a lot of women are getting rid of like their period tracking apps.
Yeah.
Because they're like, is that hackable? Are people going to see like, oh, this is when I had sex and this is when potentially I had an abortion or things like that? Like, women are actually deleting these apps on their phones. Like, that's, it's wild to me.
I don't even, as a non-child having person, as a crazy cat lady, childless, I don't understand that struggle, but I do know enough to empathize with it and say, this is not right.
That's not okay.
And if you believe in that stuff, I want to know more about why.
Yeah.
But most people, when you ask them, they don't generally want to tell you. And that's the problem. It's like, hey, you want to believe what you want to believe? That's goof. But lay it out for me then.
Yeah.
Why? Where?
How did we get here?
How did we get here? Who raised you to be like this?
What or persuaded did you?
Become this way? So, yeah. So yeah, that was, thank you so much, Brendan, for calling. We lost the other caller. He's going, oh, that's no fair.
They can call back.
They can call back, absolutely. But for right now, let's move the needle a little bit to something that you've been
happy things.
looking at. You asked me if I've been watching it, and I have to say I have not been watching it because it's, you know, life gets busy. But you've been becoming a bigger and bigger fan of the Paralympics.
Yes, I have notes. I am ready. So I really want to talk about this because I think it's really interesting. The amount of promotion and marketing of the Paralympics versus the other Olympics that happened earlier. And, you know, you had Snoop Dogg. It was basically like the mascot. And it's like, there's not the same energy for the Paralympics, which is, I think, very interesting and also very sad.
Yeah.
And so I was not one of those people. I used to love, as a kid, like gymnastics. Like, I would watch all day, every day, swimming, track, all of that. I loved the Olympics. But like, I'm older, have responsibilities, so I'm not like watching it at 3 a.m. or whatever time it is. Like, I'm not seeking it out, but I'm also being very intentional with like consuming like clips and stuff around both of the games. And so I'm like, I'm going to be intentional with keeping the same energy for the Paralympics. And I don't understand why people are not obsessed. First thing that I saw is that wheelchair rugby is nicknamed Murder Ball. What? That is the most like dope thing ever. And then also, if first of all, like, that intimidated me. I was like, what is, like, y'all have a sport called Murder Ball? What is this? And I think it's an interesting testimony too about like how people view folks with disabilities and what folks are able to do and how folks are athletes. But like, some of the stories too, like, there's a refugee team, and Zakia, I don't want to butcher her last name, but she was on the Paralympic refugee team for Taekwondo from Afghanistan. Didn't even think that she was going to have a shot, you know, to even like train or anything. Obviously, Afghanistan a couple years ago was very tumultuous, blah, blah, blah. She literally made a video pleading for people to like help evacuate her so she could like partake. And then she did. Yeah. And so now she's on the team this year. And she, I believe, was one of the first ones to get a medal for the refugee team. So I didn't get to like this part. Taekwondo, refugee, like all of that big, you know, story. She was born without one of her arms. And here she is doing amazing Taekwondo and has this amazing story. Like, I've seen, you know, swimmers without arms. I've seen blind folks with the help of aides running track. And it is phenomenal. And I think it is a huge testament to, I think, like, the American spirit. And not trying to get corny of like, you can do whatever you put your mind to. We're not doing all that. But you know what I mean? Like, not trying to be overly corny, but what people's like drive and determination, especially overcoming adversity.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame that is not being, there's not the same energy and there's not the same level, I think, of respect for the Paralympics, unfortunately.
We're not celebrating the same
way.
Not. Yeah.
And they should be celebrated tremendously because the adaptations in each field and the aids that they have to use or whatever, having someone run track, literally having to keep up with you, you know, as a guide, like that is truly amazing. And it's kind of sad that like people aren't paying as much attention to it.
I feel like this conversation happens every 2 years, though.
Sure.
Where we so excited about the Olympics. And I'll admit it, when I was asked the Friday before the opening ceremonies by both Pat on the morning show, on Pat Kreitler's show, as well as Jane, I said, I'm not going to watch any of this. I don't really care about the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah.
I then went home that Friday and watched the opening ceremonies. Actually, yeah, it wasn't even that Sunday. It was a Friday. They opened on that Friday.
Yep, that's right.
I went, I left the studio, went to my mom's house to hang out. And she's like, I have the opening ceremonies on. I'm like, okay, I'll watch a little bit. I was riveted just by that.
Yes.
And then I started watching as much as I could spare time for.
Yeah.
And so it was cool. Like, I watched some archery. I watched a little bit of rugby. I watched, you know, the Novak Djokovic versus Carlos Alcaraz tennis match for the gold was phenomenal. But you're right. I've not watched any of the Paralympics. And you know what? I will change that. I will watch some today. Because, I mean, it's taking the adversity and, as you said, adapting. I think that's the best word to say is adapting to your surroundings. How do I make this work? A friend of mine, Caitlin, who is a longtime listener, never caller.
Ooh.
Caitlin. Just kidding. You do it. You do, you girl. She sent me a TikTok of a woman by the name of Tracy Otto, who is becoming a star in the Paralympics for archery.
Yeah.
And her story is not like you were saying about the young woman who's born without an arm. This is a woman who was born able-bodied. And then went through a horrific domestic violence situation. And because of it, she does not have, she is now disabled.
Yeah.
And she has used that disability to able herself to adapt and become a world-class archer.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. We should be giving more of the flowers to these individuals because to be a world-class athlete with all of the working limbs, all the things going for it is a phenomenal feat.
Absolutely.
Like, we look at these individuals like, you know, jumping over a bar and pommel horsing. And everyone has 1-5% in their brain saying, you know, if I just tried it once, I feel like I wouldn't be great, but I could do something.
I practice really hard.
But the Paralympics to me is just now like, you're right. You've converted me. Calvin, you have any thoughts?
So I also haven't watched any Paralympics, but I didn't watch any of the able-bodied Olympics either.
Fair.
So,
fair.
All right, I was about to cancel you.
But I will say, my favorite, one clip I did see was from one of the American archers from the Paralympic team. He said in this interview that he knew there was going to be a lot of adrenaline shooting at the Olympics, so he's been training. He skydives and lands near a target, and then once he lands, he practices shooting to try to simulate the adrenaline. It was a pretty cool story.
That's called showing. That's just showing off at that point.
That's so cool, though. I mean, also, if people are interested in like looking up other clips, I didn't see this whole match. Like, my ADHD, I cannot stay focused for like a badminton or tennis for a long time. But there was a badminton match yesterday, and I don't remember both, or sometime, and I don't remember both of their names. But like the game point was the most intense I had ever seen. Like, I'm talking from one end to the other, falling and just like simultaneously. And I think it was Brazil ended up winning. But like the way that they fought for that game point, I was like, I'm tired just looking at you. And there's just so many amazing stories and people like behind the stories. And I think it just means so much to people. And like I said, I wish that there was still like a Snoop Dogg hyping up everybody or, yeah. you know, all of that. I think they deserve the same amount. And I'm going to be honest, maybe a little bit more love because of more of the adversity and just like the incredible amounts of adaptation that everything takes.
I don't disagree with you. And I think also, Angela, you and I should pitch to Peacock or maybe Civic Media. Maybe Civic Media should get on board with this. Our own post show.
Yes.
Where we just make wholly inappropriate, not disrespectful.
No.
Just swearing a lot.
Yes.
Commentary on the day's events.
Yes.
I think we should make that work.
I'm down.
Okay. We're
call the people.
We're going to be printing dollars, dollar upon dollar bill. We're going to keep the conversation going. Mark, I see you online. Do not hang up, please, friend. We will take your call on the other side of the break. But we're going to go grab a quick bite, grab some water, stay hydrated. We're not going anywhere. We got one more segment left. But you are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Greg Bach. That's Angela Lang. And that's Sweet Kelby. Stay close. You're amazing. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and I am sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation. She will be returning on Monday, but you also got Angela Lang across from me. She is our Tuesday guest co-host today, and it's been lovely having you on.
It's been great.
I mean,
seriously. Time always flies every time I'm here.
Because it's, you know, it's the dynamic, baby, the radio jazz. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'll never say that again. We also have, of course, on the boards, Calvin the Board Lord, a.k.a. Dr. Slide. And we also have we were talking about the Paralympics, and we were also talking about creepy ads. And I wanted to take this call before we didn't have enough time because he's very, very patient. Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Mark, what's going on with you, friend?
Hey, thanks. I got cut off a little bit. I had a doctor's call, office call. But I mean, for this whole creepy ads thing, I mean, that is part and parcel of their whole attitude. And I think it's completely real because I've seen this in my own family, that kind of attitude and language that, and it's actually interesting to kind of, there's actually an Olympic tie-in because I've seen language from that side complaining about how ungodly the Olympics have become because they're actually had some pagan imagery in some of the opening ceremonies. And I go, for goodness sakes, I actually posted on that in some place that they're forgetting the Olympics were actually an ancient pagan rite to celebrate the god of the Greek pantheon of gods. And I think it's just these people are
it sounds like, they're exhausting, Mark, is what
yeah.
they are. And it's, I mean, honestly, like they say it's godless and they don't know anything about their own God because they say that the pagan ritual that's being shown there is blasphemous towards the Last Supper, which it wasn't, which means they know very little about what they are defending because a lot of those individuals do not read their Bible. But
which is so interesting.
That's for another conversation. Yeah. Mark, thank you so much for calling. We always appreciate you having on the show. We were also talking about the Paralympics, and we got a great text message from Sue in Franklin listening to WAUK saying our friend's daughter from Minnesota, Mallory Wegeman, won gold in swimming. She won gold in Tokyo, too. Her and her husband, Jay, also have shared their infertility struggles in a documentary called Watershed.
Oh. So
check that
out. I don't really hear the name, but I know that.
Another great thing about the woman that was talking about in the TikTok that was sent to me, apparently her partner, now fiance, who proposed in Paris at the Paralympics.
Yep.
He's with her at every event. He sits next to her. He's there as just her support system, her calming factor, whatever. But I just love those stories. And I think you are absolutely right when we were discussing that. You know, the Paralympics do not get the flowers that the traditional Olympics get.
Yeah.
And that is a shame. And it doesn't have to be Snoop Dogg. It gets some other person to go there and be a part of it. I mean, it's just, there's no reason. It costs them money to do it, but it's worth the investment.
I mean, there's no reason not to, right? And like, and if I know y'all have the money, right? Yeah. Like, y'all are probably getting bank just from the ads that y'all are running at the time, right? And so it's like, where are you putting your priorities?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know folks have, if people are on the TikToks, there is a Paralympics TikTok, which some folks have mixed feelings about because some of them are like kind of jokes, like they're making light of some of the stuff too. But also I think it's like, I think it's done in like a respectful way. And I think, you know, there's some athletes I've been following and I'm like, actually, I had to unpack myself. Like, why am I not paying attention to the Paralympics as much? Or even like, this is a whole nother thing, like the Special Olympics as well, too. Yeah. Like, all of that is like phenomenal athleticism. And I lay on my couch and like rot on the weekends and eat hot Cheetos. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, wow. I mean, I appreciate people's athleticism no matter what industry they're in. But also at the same time, it's like, it's just like, what is the reason? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we know what the reason is.
Yeah.
It's just easy. Because no one talks about it.
Yeah.
People talk about the Olympics at work.
Yeah, exactly.
But once that's over with,
it's a cultural moment that we're sharing.
Exactly. But the Paralympics is not a part of that, unfortunately. But not anymore. Me and you, Angela.
Everyone's gonna watch it now.
We're doing this. If it's not happening this year, in 2 years of the Winter Olympics, we are going to have a recap show.
Yep.
We're gonna have a recap show. Calvin, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, just speaking to the importance of the Paralympics to the athletes and like what it means to them and representation. I saw one runner from Australia. He's a Paralympian. He was talking about his times are really good. He could potentially qualify for the able-bodied Olympics, but he said he would love to do that, but he would never try to qualify for the Olympics at the cost of not being able to do the Paralympics. So
yeah.
I mean, you listen to them talk about it. And Keenan and Kevin Hart had some Olympians in the Paralympics on their show. And man, like, it's nothing but the same competitive, like, need to do their best.
Yeah, yeah.
That those in the traditional or able-bodied Olympics have. Wow, you've opened my eyes, Angela Lang.
That's why you bring me on.
Open my eyes.
Perspective.
Great conversation. Yeah. Wonderful time. And great. I really do thank you for being here. For my time in the big chair.
Yeah.
And I look forward to having you on.
I'm saying, you know where to find me. I'll be right down here again.
I know exactly. You're around a lot. You're like basically like a coworker.
I mean, I'll be around tomorrow.
Wink.
Wink.
But yeah, Angela, thank you so much. How can people find you and what Block does so they can know more about your group?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and the TikToks. Please don't judge it. We're working. We're trying. By Block, MKE. Yeah. And if people want to find ways to support us or to check out my weekly newsletter every Friday at 7, you can go to blockbyblock.org.
And that's B-L-O-C.
Yep, no K.
There you go. Angela, again, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You were like the first person I thought about when I was...
That means a lot. I appreciate that.
I love talking to you. I love hanging out with you. And
same.
Let's go grab coffee and just be fun people together.
Where we can swear it too.
Yes. Calvin, thank you so much.
You're great too. We love you.
Calvin's amazing.
Yes.
He gets all the creepy ads he gets to send to me. That's great. So then he gets sent to me. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. Whether you are watching on the live stream, commenting, texting, calling in, we appreciate you. Without you, there is no us. Yes. And you can stick around. We got news coming up. And then after that is the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2. Don't go anywhere. We got more news for you here at Civic Media. And it's going to be a fun day. Tuesday, I almost said Monday.
Yeah,
the day after Labor Day. We hope you have a wonderful day. Stay close. Stay hydrated. You are amazing. You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network.